What's up, what's up? It's your boy Cam Eakins. This is the Cam Eakins Show. Very special episode today. We got not one but two people in here. My good friend Lil Rich and Terrence Mann from the LA Clippers.
My boy, what's good?
What's
good,
going on, guys?
Nothing, man. I could curse?
You can say whatever you want, man.
Well, shit, man. What the fuck? Nah, I'm playing. Nah, man.
This is not network, you know?
Good, good. So no filter.
How you guys feeling?
Don't edit anything.
Cooling, man.
Yeah.
Living, living, working.
Yep. I hear that. So, first off, Rich, man, you came to me with this idea of getting the three of us together. So, want to ask you, what was your thought process on that?
Well, I remember, like, when we was talking about, because we did the first one, and then this one, when we was talking about doing it on camera, I'm like, yo, how can we make it different this time, but, like, just, like, something that, to me, is going to, like, have, like, a timeless factor to it, you know what I mean? Just something a little more different and developed. What something that, like, between, like, him and, like, a lot of, like, our core, like, friend group would talk about is just, like, how crazy it is, just the time we're in, specifically for us, you know what I'm saying? Like, being that we come from the same area, grew up together, and just kind of have, like, this linear path. So I'm like, yo, like, I think just capturing that moment, instead of just leaving it for conversation, but, like, private conversation, but putting it, like, out for the world to see, for even, like, for the people that catch it now, and but I know it's going to be way more, you know, effective years later looking back.
Yeah, later on, for sure.
Yeah, like, this conversation is going to be huge. So I was like, and I'm like, it only makes sense to do it with you, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So yeah. No, I mean, there's so many obvious parallels between basketball and music, in particular hip-hop music, which are obvious, I feel like, in culture these days. Mm-hmm. But in particular, I feel like the two of you's progression in your careers, in your life, coming from the same place, knowing each other for a long time, there's a lot of parallels there that are really good lessons, I feel like, for people to hear. So, yeah, maybe back me up a little bit. So Terrence, kind of, what's it like coming from back east, from you're from Lowell, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, I mean, your life has changed quite a bit over the last few years. How have you been processing that?
Yeah, I mean, it's changed drastically, like, just a whole different type of lifestyle, a whole different way of carrying myself, you know, realizing who I need in my circle, you know, what I need in my circle, just a lot of different things that I never really thought I would have to do or think about before. But it's been cool, man. It's been a cool process. And, you know, I'm just trying to do this to inspire everybody where we come from, because if we can do it, like you don't understand. We were back in Lowell doing Lowell stuff, Lowell shit, man. We were just, he was making music, you know, trying to make it. We were walking everywhere, bike riding everywhere, hanging out at the park till late night, like till sundown. I remember instances, he had a music video that he was making. We was in Kerouac Park.
Oh, like, my God.
Like, Kerouac Park, just, you know, bullshit.
That was,
man,
a long time ago.
Long time ago. We had the snapbacks. Everybody wanted, you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
We were just.
That's like, that was like 2011, 2012. Yeah. Nah, 2010, actually.
It was 2010 for
2010,
sure.
yeah. Like, the first video I probably ever shot.
So, did you guys go to school together?
No.
No.
Mm-hmm. No. He's two grades above? You were two grades above me, I think?
Yeah.
Two grades above me. But in Lowell, you know, you don't really go to school with the people you hang out with most of the time.
Right.
You know,
right.
It's mostly from sports or programs that you're in that you meet people and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever's in your neighborhood. So, yeah. Mm. And then I met Mello, I think, in like sixth grade, and they're cousins. So
yeah,
that's how it all came together.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Rich, what about for you, man? Like, you're kind of going on this path in music, and you're seeing Terrence over here on the sports path.
Mm-hmm.
And now you guys are both at a level where you're doing it, you know, professionally, and both now living in LA by happenstance.
Mm-hmm.
Was there a period in time there where you guys were kind of on your own path, but still connected? And, you know, talk to me a little bit about your path leaving Lowell and getting into music, and, you know, how that kind of corresponded with Terrence's timeline.
Yeah, so basically, there was like a stretch of time where I guess we were probably just both locked in doing our own things in our respective spaces, but mm-hmm. like we were always just, we were always cool. I think like when he got to college is when we definitely started to talk more. Because, you know, like there's like an age, I think, where especially if you, you know, like he said, like the schools didn't really matter about us linking up. But you get to like a certain age. I think for me, it was high school where I wouldn't see him and Mello as much because I was so locked into what I was doing and they were off in like boarding schools. So like there was probably like that stretch of time. I'd say like I like to give timestamps. This was probably like from like 2011 to like 2015 or say where like, you know, he was, we were both just like making stride in what we were doing in our own respective paths. And we weren't, I wouldn't say we weren't like day to day talking, but like it was always like hats off, like on both sides. Like, all right, we both know we're climbing in what we're doing.
Right.
But I think it really all like got crazy when he got drafted, honestly, because like, everybody, we all followed him through his college journey. And like, I remember, like, I'm big on manifestation. And I just remember, like, even like his, like, cause he, I think what your junior year, you guys went to the Elite Eight.
Yeah.
And then the year after that was the Sweet 16.
Yeah.
And I went to both those games.
That's Florida State.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
They're
both in LA.
Yep. Right. Exactly. One was at the Staples, one was in Anaheim. I went to both. And like, I just remember at the time, I had already lived in LA for a short amount of time. And I'm like, yo, like, it would just be wild somehow if he could get drafted anywhere near here, whether it was like, you know, by any of the
Sacramento,
LA teams, Sacramento, right, like Phoenix, like any surrounding areas, you know what I'm saying? So like when Mello and all them were at the draft and he was texting me on the side and like they knew a couple of picks ahead of time, like where he was going to go. Like, I just couldn't believe it. Like we all sitting in the living room just watching the draft. I'm like, bro, he really about to come to LA.
Because you really don't know up until that night, right? I mean, maybe you have a little bit of an idea, but, you know.
You think you got an idea.
Right.
So you're sitting there freezing cold at the draft.
Yeah.
Waiting until the 48th pick.
Yeah.
Crazy.
So it's a lot, but, yeah, I mean, we definitely through college, you know, we had a group chat that we were always talking. Mm-hmm. Just talk a bunch of shit for years until we actually got together in LA. You know, one of our other friends out here, Alex Brown's out here too. He was also in a group chat. Like, it was crazy how it all aligned.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous.
That's our homie from, not to cut you off, but that's our homie from back home. He's here too now. Grew up with us, has a studio in North Hollywood, like a few minutes from where we at. Mm-hmm. So it's just wild how like, cause bro, like where we're from is just like such a small, small place. Like I think about it. I always think about it on a grand scale, like whether it's in sports or music, like people come from these, people like to highlight these small spaces, but like, yo, like a lot of people do not know what Lowell, Massachusetts is still right now.
Totally.
You know what I mean?
I think if you're from Massachusetts, you think of Lowell as like the old historical, like mill stuff that you learn about in like elementary school, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But outside of Massachusetts, it hasn't historically been a region that people are associating necessarily with entertainment or sports or whatever. And now for there to be so much activity coming out of this region that's really steerheaded by you guys and your group, you know, it's just exciting because that's just the natural progression of these things is that every once in a while, a city kind of gets its moment with its key people.
Yeah.
And it transcends different areas from sports to music and...
Got to shout out Mickey Ward.
Yeah,
for sure. Like, just like I didn't want to say that to say like nothing has ever came out of there, but like,
yeah,
he's definitely, you know, probably the one to my well, Alex Oriaki too. I gotta give the credit where it's due because he won a national championship in 2011.
Yeah,
so like we gotta give credit where credit's due for sure from people that came, you know, before us. So
absolutely. So when the Clippers call your name. What's going through your head in that moment? I mean, a lot of things, but probably some part of it
you
is
ever,
like
you ever watch All About the Benjamins?
Yeah.
When their ticket read off on the screen. Yeah, I swear that's exactly what it was like. Like,
yeah.
at the time, you don't know about taxes and you don't know about,
right,
you know, second round pick gets paid an X amount of dollars. So you thinking, I'm in the NBA, like money, right, money, money, money. You're just ready. Mm. So that's really what went through my head right at that moment. I mean, I'm 22 years old, just that's it.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And was L.A. one of the places that you were really excited about, or were you just happy to go anywhere at that point?
I was happy to go anywhere because at the time I felt like I was the type of player that would just – I just needed a spot and I'll be all right. Mm-hmm. That's how I felt. That's how I went into it thinking. Yeah, I was just like, wherever I go, I'm going to be all right because I'm going to work hard. I'm a great teammate. Like, I just felt like I had all the tools to make it. So, yeah, so once it was L.A., I was like, damn, that's crazy because we have too many – friends out there, we got too much stuff going for us. Like, God is really on our side for,
right,
this one.
Facts. Right. Facts. Yeah. And and your mom is a basketball coach.
Yep. Yeah, she is.
So that's been a part of your life forever in, yeah, terms of the technical side of things.
Yeah, whole life she's been my a coach my whole life. You know, she's coached women's basketball all throughout at all different levels, Division II, Division I. She did WNBA last summer, so yeah, she's been all over the place, but it's been cool to watch her grow too.
Yeah. How much of that how much was she helping you with things over the years as you progressed, you know, going through college and then getting to the point where you knew you were going to play professional? Is, you know, I'm sure she's a mom first, but
yeah,
is there a lot of those talks?
Yeah, a lot. I mean I probably talked to her after every game in college. You know, she just helped me out mentally. It's more mentally than anything. You know, she knows what it takes mentally for a player to be successful. So, you know, she would just help me out after every game. Her and my dad, though, my dad played a big part too. Mm-hmm. You know, he's big on mental and he also helped me out. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's funny because another, you know, similarity I feel like between the two of you's story is, you know, this fight in you to just like make your impression on the game, you know, mm-hmm, what I'm saying, mm-hmm, and not that you were, you know, the underdog. I think people understood the skill to some degree, but then when you really got that opportunity, you exceeded all the expectations, you know what I'm saying, like you and your game and you in the music business. Mm-hmm. You know, I think everybody understands the caliber of production and our artistic ability that you have. Mm-hmm. But they really started to see it over the last couple of years, you know, with the solo music too, in, mm-hmm, addition to the production. We were just talking about the Kanye documentary, you know, it's like, mm-hmm, I think people think of people sometimes as just producers or one type of way. And in, right, basketball too, same thing, you know, people think that they know about a player, but, and you know, it's you never really truly know until it's actually game time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So,
facts.
Was that crazy for you to kind of see him going through that process in the last couple of years in the league?
Yeah, man. It's because like we're all basketball junkies. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
We grew up like digesting basketball. Like I played. You know what I'm saying? Like I didn't play at the collegiate level, but like a lot of people I've played against are in the league. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So like I know as far as like at the competitive level he's at, like I'm not obviously a professional player, but I can understand how it feels to do all 4 years in school and have to get hard, you know, like the chip that's got to be on your shoulder,
right,
when you get drafted late versus like I feel the same way in music. You know what I mean? I've had people I've worked with, you know, go from like zero to hero and be like the lottery pick, you know,
mm-hmm,
whereas like for me, like I've been making music for years, you know what I mean? Like I done had to, you know, grind it out back home before I even got to LA, and you know, even being in LA and now doing the solo stuff now, like just basically, you know, to like put it to the point where like, yo, like we didn't cut any corners, you know what I mean?
Right.
So I know how that feels to like take the stairs and not the elevator, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So, Terrence, do you feel a sense of responsibility now being in the spotlight that you are as a professional player and now being more, you know, in the eyes of the media and the world? Do you feel a responsibility to your hometown and to the people kind of looking up to you now?
Yeah, definitely. But I feel like it's natural. Like, I always had this drive in me to want to go back and give back. I mean, we were talking about this before we was even doing anything, really. Mm-hmm. We were talking about this when I was in college years ago. Mm-hmm. Right when he first got to LA, we'd always be talking about, you know, eventually going back, giving back, starting different things.
Yep.
You know, a whole bunch of stuff. Like, this summer I had a camp for kids out there. You know, gave the money to Boys and Girls Club out there. They had a tournament out there, a money tournament. Like, we just going back and doing
Rest in peace, Billy G.
Yeah, for real. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, we're just going back doing a whole bunch of stuff for the community that Billy G would have wanted us to do anyway. Mm-hmm. So we're going to continue to do it for, you know, however long we can.
Yeah.
And I can speak for all of us.
Mm-hmm. On that one. What about you, Rich? You kind of just enjoying going back and being able to participate in the community and do different things back home?
Yeah, man. I feel like that's a real responsibility in our minds. Like he said, we were already talking about it before we were in close to any position to giving back, you know? So that just tells you like what the mentality was. Yeah, but it feels good to finally get it going and start something now. Cause for us, it was never really about us. Like, even we're trying to excel to these heights and get to a point where, you know, we have the liberty to give back and, you know, give them the opportunities we didn't have coming up. Cause like, I mean, just being quite frank, like, we're the 0.01% of where we come from. Mm-hmm. Doing this at this level. So like, and there's just so much talent from where we're from. And it honestly ain't just about Lowell. Like, you know, before I got to LA, I went to Boston and linked with a lot of talent out there. And I started to realize, like, because, you know, like, coming from that, a lot of people don't know that, like, coming from that area, being in Lowell, like, they don't care what anybody's doing in the surrounding cities. Like
in Lowell, they don't care, or like Boston doesn't care.
I think it's vice versa. Where, yeah, like, and not necessarily in a negative light. It's right. Almost like one of those things where, like, just, like, people, because, you know, like, in other places, people look to the main, like, metropolis area as, like, you know, what's going on. Like a lot of people in Atlanta might not necessarily be from Atlanta, but, you know, a lot of their energy and what they're talking about is directed towards that. Whereas, like, right, where we're from, like, people from Lowell don't say they're from Boston. Mm. And vice versa. To the point where it does sometimes get a little, like, heated arguments and stuff like that. But for me, I'm like, yo, like, we got a rep. Like, I got a Lowell Spinners hat on right now. But I'm like, yo, like, it is bigger than just, like, repping Lowell. Like, because the whole state, like, still trying to make a way. You know what I mean? And I'm already coming up with a lot of people that's from out that area, not just from Lowell, whether it's, like, Stiz or Bia. You know what I mean? Like,
yep.
You got Millie's doing this thing. You got Van Buren. You got all these different types of talented people that are just, we're all from that, like, Massachusetts. And on a grand scale, like, I could say Lowell 978 all I want, but until it gets to be on, like, a real recognized scale, people are just going to see it as mainly Boston, mainly Massachusetts, which is cool, too. You know, I'm not complaining, so.
Yeah, but it's funny because I think there's a little bit more respect going on than there maybe used to be across the board. I feel like when you think about Massachusetts, mm-hmm, you know, and the way that people support one another, mm-hmm, and I'm sure it's been the same in sports and in music, because, mm-hmm, and I know from the music side, mm-hmm, the history of Massachusetts and Boston artists and the competitiveness, you know what I'm saying? Right. Mm-hmm. And some cities don't operate like that. Like, some cities really support mm-hmm, just everything going on in that city. Yeah. And I think maybe 10, 20 years ago, Boston was not in that headspace as much, but it seems, mm-hmm, to be changing.
Yeah.
And I think it's because of, you know, the two of you and the people that we know that are coming up now,
yeah,
doing it in a more, you know, just, I don't know, just in a way that's like leading with respect, like Millie's, for example, like,
yeah,
you know, Millie's is in such a, you know, specific kind of style of what he does, but has the ultimate respect for like everybody in the, right, city, you, yeah, know, like, yeah, every time I've interacted, right, with him, you know, I'm from the suburbs doing my like white boy rapper shit. And he's right. he's yeah. always like good people.
Be,
you know? Yeah.
That's how, and we had this conversation before, like Atlanta really took that on to the fullest.
Right.
And yeah. and made everybody take a step back and look at their own cities like yeah. we have just as much talent, but what's going on? What's the problem?
Right.
The problem
right.
is
right.
everybody's not on board and everybody's not pushing everybody to be great. Everybody yeah. a lot of cities want to have that one person that's just the one person out of there. You know what yeah. I mean? Mm-hmm. Instead of, you got to look at the bigger picture. You know, everybody can win. Everybody can eat, especially with all the money in the world nowadays. Everybody can eat like easily.
Strength in numbers.
Yeah. Yes. Where do you think that change came from? You think it's because of social media, people just getting more hip to these ideas?
Yeah, I would say so for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's fascinating, man. But it's mm-hmm. so cool to see because there is such a unique thing going on in Lowell particularly
yeah.
and then in Massachusetts as a whole, from Western Mass to the city to the outskirts, mm-hmm. there's all this different activity going on.
Yeah.
But it does seem like people are across the board, the younger artists, the newer artists, the newer you know, sports figures, etc., they're all connected a little, and there's just like that mutual respect across the board.
Bro, I know he knows definitely personally like the amount of players that come from where we come from, bro. Mm-hmm. It's at that, like, I think even on a sports level it's crazier than the music level, because there's a good amount of you know, hoopers that came from Massachusetts that are at that professional level and
yeah.
like are playing, like they're not just deep in the bench on injury reserve, like they making impacts on championship caliber teams, like. So it's, bro, I feel like it needs to be highlighted. That was a big part of why I came to you about this too. Cause I'm like, yo, these are the things that need to be talked about. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Cause like, if we don't do it, like, it's almost like I wouldn't want nobody to tell my story. I didn't want to tell my own story.
Right.
You know what I mean? So like that, you know.
Well, and even just having the conversation about these ideas is something that can progress this type of stuff forward,
mm-hmm.
you know, make people a little bit more
aware
and just kind of into the idea of that mutual respect, you know, for the different lanes, and just leading with love as opposed to hate,
right?
You know,
yeah, that's for sure. And that's you know, that's what I want it to be for the kids in Mass, not even Lowell. Like I'll retweet or like or hit up a kid, you know, from anywhere in Mass that's doing well on their way up,
yeah,
mm-hmm.
you know, trying to make it in my profession, or even if it's music, you know, whatever it is. Cause mm-hmm. I remember when I was growing up, I didn't have that. Like nobody who was in the NBA, nobody who was even playing college basketball mm-hmm. or high level high school basketball would hit me as a young kid, mm-hmm. you know, in eighth grade, getting some recognition, like, yo, keep going. Like you can get here. You can make it here. You can do what I'm doing. Like I didn't have that at all.
No blueprint.
No blueprint. You know, and there was so many names that I could name that were there that never, you know, reached out to me or guys around me or anything. Mm-hmm. So I just want to be that person to change that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's so dope, man, because, you know, I mean, we all know people and you know, it happens sometimes when you do get successful, you get more busy, you get more focused sure. internally on what's going on with you.
Sure. Have to be.
You know, and it's hard to, you know, just kind of remember the values that are important to you
right.
and to even just give somebody who's maybe a few steps below where you are on their path because they're younger, mm-hmm. even just give them some you know, support in any yeah. way, even just a tweet.
Right.
Yeah.
It goes a long way. It
goes such a long way.
Huge, bro.
You know?
Huge.
It's crazy.
And sometimes people get just caught up in their day to day, but to take that 30 seconds, man.
Yeah.
For, you know, someone looking up to you, you know, to hear that is probably, you know, the best thing to happen to them that mm-hmm. that fucking year.
Right.
You know?
And I even see it on both sides too, because like on the way up, right, and just, you know, just wishing like, yo, like you could get like, well, at least in my perspective and on the music side, you just wish like, yo, I wish I could get a co-sign from like one of my idols or right. somebody that's in close proximity of me that,
right.
that could just, you know, just lift his arm down and pull me up. Like you wish for that type of stuff. And I think even like you could build like, it's easy to build resentment too, towards things like that. And like, damn, like we hear it all the time. Like, yo, like nobody's helping me.
Right.
And that's a lot of the mentality of where we come from too. You know what I mean? But I think we got to put it in perspective too, and just be realistic about a lot of things as well. Like, and I think I could speak, you know, in his case on this too, is like, bro, like we've never been here before. You know what I'm saying? Like nobody we've known has been here before in the seat. So like the stuff we deal with, even on a day to day, living in like, it's not like we're in Oklahoma City. I'm not trying to diss OKC, but like we're in Los Angeles, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like there's stuff going on all the time in our life, like 24/7 around us in our orbit and just in personal life too. So like I learned, like I think that's what I've learned in time too, especially with the artist stuff, is like, yo, like nobody's obligated to support you. You know what I mean?
Mm.
Like you, no one has to support you. So don't, even if you don't get that retweet or get that little help that you really think you deserve, like don't let it discourage you at the same time. And I'm really speaking to like kids back home as well, but really just like whoever's listening, you know what I mean?
Totally.
Cause we've had this conversation
just
on, you know, off the record, just talking about like, you know, and I think this could translate in sports and music too, is like, now that everything's so accessible and visible, we look to certain things and measure that success as to our own and think like, you know, like we're not doing as good.
Right.
You know what I mean? Even though it's like, bro, like you're doing just fine. Like you're actually doing a lot better than what a lot of people are doing.
Right.
So don't get discouraged by looking at someone else's journey or like having social media paint this picture and be like, this is what the success of it is supposed to look like.
Yeah. It seems like it comes back to vulnerability that used to not be as kind of socially accepted in the circles that we would, you know, come up in around the sports world, the hip hop world, just like the culture in general, I feel like is moving toward maybe being a little bit more honest and open, and less trying to, you know, kind of front an image of like perfection and, you know, having everything, you know, we're human beings. Like a basketball player who's in the NBA is a human being. You know, first and foremost, you're operating at one of the highest levels possible and you know, in performance and everything like this, but we're still humans, you know, and music is the same thing. And social media maybe has made that accessibility, you know, easier, but it's really cool to have a conversation with the two of you in this way, because people wouldn't always be comfortable to have that, you know, back in the day.
No, that's very true.
Yeah.
That's very true. And social media, man, that's a gift and a curse at the same time.
Yeah.
Because it's a lot. It's a lot on there. I mean, you're looking at 19-year-olds making millions of dollars off there. It's like 17 to 21-year-olds, that age range, is making millions. And you have other, you know, kids that age that were doing what we were doing. And now they're looking, like, we weren't looking at stuff like that.
Nah,
what I mean?
No way.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we weren't looking at 17-year-olds making $1 million just moving their hands on TikTok and stuff like that. No disrespect, but that's work. They're doing work.
Yeah.
But they're making millions off that type of stuff. And now people are comparing their lives to that. And it's a gift and a curse out there.
Yeah, it is, man. It's weird to think through, because it, you know, in some ways it's great that there's opportunity to like be creative and do things. But also the reality is, you know, not everyone can do it. Right. And so it's just creating more inequality.
Right.
You know, I mean, more income inequality. Like the haves really have it.
Right.
And the have nots really don't.
Yeah. Right. You know? It's so crazy, because like the times always translate to what's being projected in an art form or even in like a sport form. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that we have, you know, the tools to like, you know, you could really make a living just doing skits from your phone every day. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be, you know, there's cause and effect to everything. So there's going to be good and there's going to be bad with that. I guess what I don't have the answer like to fix, because I just don't. But what helped me when I was like, you know, feeling like I had to do certain things to see some type of success in what I'm doing. Like that was law. Like I just learned what's for me and what isn't for me. It's really about knowing yourself at the end of the day.
Man, you got to find yourself.
Yeah.
And the earlier, the better. Like the earlier you can know who you are, what you like, what you don't like, who you want around you, who you don't want around you, your life just changed. Like it's almost like a light switch.
Yeah.
Facts.
How much of, you know, your preparation for competing and performing at the highest level like you do, how much of that is that mental stuff that's about the discipline of, you know, staying grounded, keeping the right people around you, you know, the important kind of values? Is that a key part to all of this?
I would say that's 60% of being a professional athlete.
Mm.
Like, I wouldn't say it's half. It's more than half.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
A lot of people are way more skilled than I am, you know, way better at certain things than I am, but they don't have they don't know themselves. So they're lost and they're trying to figure it out,
mm-hmm.
but they're really good at this sport, but they can't produce or they can't get it together because off the court, they have just a frenzy of a bunch of bullshit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So once, you know, that bullshit, once it's inside, it's hard to get out. And that's what, you know, it's a learning process at the end of the day, but I've been in the league for only 3 years. I'm talking like I've been in it for 10.
No, but it's very clear though that you understand that, yeah, though.
You got to understand it, because if you don't, then it's going to be bad.
And correct me if I'm wrong too, but like this is just me being a spectator and knowing you as well. I feel like back to what you were saying about like there's players that could be more skilled than you, but don't have all the answers, or they're not performing at that level. I feel like that also plays into your game as well mentally, right? Like you could be, you know, like a lights out shooter on your basketball team, and mentally you feel like you're supposed to be the star. But realistically, it's like if your mental should be like, yo, I should be able to work in this system the right way. And that might translate to your performance and your stats being better.
Right.
And that's mental itself, right?
I mean, yeah. I mean, I've gone through that my whole career, like feeling like knowing I can do such and such, but you got to know your role.
Right.
Yeah. And that's like, that's with anything though. You got to know your role with anything. Like we joke around and say, you know, we're like, you ever watch Entourage?
Of course. Yeah.
So
it's a classic.
We see ourselves as like,
I mean, you guys are kind of moving like that.
Yeah,
you
know? Bro. That's how
I see you, Vinny.
So, yeah. But like everybody there knew their role. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
totally.
That's what made them go. Everybody knew their role.
And
any team situation.
Right. And they knew when to turn it up. Like even for me, like I'm this artist, producer, kid, engineer. Like, of course, like in a perfect world, I want to be like one of the biggest artists on the planet. I know I'm going to be that at some point. Right.
Right.
But I can't just go 100, like, I can't be on go about that right now. I had to engineer on these albums and produce these artists to get, you know, get my financial right and also get me in better rooms or bigger rooms just to play that role before I could start rolling out the artist stuff and do what I want.
Right.
So, like, that's just another, you know, aspect of playing your role.
Yeah. So, I mean, at this professional level, when you have a group of people who know how to be a star in their role, it's crazy.
Yeah.
There's no telling where it can go from there.
Like, right.
Everybody can eat, like I said before.
No, it's so fascinating, man, because there's just so much that goes into it. Music, sports,
mm-hmm.
whatever. It's not just about the talent. It's not just about the physical acumen. Nope.
That's the least part.
Yeah. Because there's a lot of strong dudes that can ball.
Right.
You know, and there's a lot of, we know a ton of people. I mean, I know some of the best musicians in the world, right? Who, you know, are making, you know, 30, 40 grand a year, scraping by, you know, writing songs for the biggest record labels, getting like totally screwed by them.
Right.
You know, and, and you do too.
Yeah.
You know, and it's tough, man. Like sometimes talent isn't the only thing. And in music, it's a lot more people getting taken advantage of.
Yeah, it's a lot more bullshit.
You know?
And I learned that being around him for the past couple years.
So it's a little bit different in that sense.
It's way harder, man.
Yo, I asked, who did I ask? I asked you that, Melo, right? I said, yo, what do you think is harder? Winning a NBA, like getting a ring or getting a Grammy? Like, what is harder? Like, that's kind of hard that's a hard question.
That's a great conversation.
Man.
It's kind of crazy, right? Because you got to think, like, there's so many things that gotta fall in place for you to win a championship, like a ring.
All right, all right. So what do you think is harder?
I gotta think about that. Like, is it when, if you're put in the position to do so, or is it like starting from ground zero?
Right, because that's two different arguments.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean? Yeah.
Is it like, yo, you're starting the season on an NBA championship team, and you're starting on a record label with such and such in your corner? Then let's go. You know what I mean? Or is it like, we're both starting back and low, now let's go.
So, yo. I think it's that one. I think that one.
Starting from scratch.
I would say the sport aspect of it is easier because there's a lot of organization.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, you know, stuff that people do for you that you don't have to worry about. With the music stuff, it's a lot of shit you got to get done on your own. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's a lot of time on your own. It's a lot of mental stress on your own.
You know what I think? I agree with you, but for different reasons. I think that it's harder to win a Grammy because in sports, right? It's very like, it is pretty black and white in the sense of like, if you could perform, you could perform. If you could put up a certain amount of numbers, right? And formulate a team with the right staff and all that type of shit. And
no injuries.
Like, it's pretty known like what the type of tools you need,
right?
And you know, told by history for you to get to that point,
right?
Whereas like music is so subjective, bro. Right.
Yeah,
like what they like over there is not what we're gonna like. Like, so what are the chances of millions of people liking what you're doing to the point where you could even be considered to get the highest musical award? You know what I mean?
Totally.
So it's crazy though, but it's both crazy.
Like, they're both crazy. I think of just the statistics of it, and it's like once you get to the NBA, just roughly speaking for the purpose of this argument, there's a 1 in 32 chance that you win the championship, mm-hmm. right? Because there are 32 teams.
Right.
So if you get to that step, you know.
See, that's what I'm saying. Where do we start in this?
Right, process? Yeah, exactly.
Today, then, that's,
but,
yeah.
You know, with the Grammy thing, you're actually competing against more people because anybody, any motherfucker in their bedroom can make music now.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And become Billie Eilish or, you know, whoever.
Right.
But, you know, not everybody can become a basketball player.
That too.
So.
That's true too.
It's not a smaller pool that you're competing against if you're a young kid who can play basketball.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I think the reality is they're both extremely, extremely hard. Probably comparable.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's a good one though.
Yeah, and I just can't get over how synonymous basketball and music are. Like, it's just so crazy. Like, I feel like, you know, people will always say it's synonymous because, you know, the rappers want to be basketball players and vice versa. Yeah, we get that part.
Who said that? I swear, rap and music is
probably Drake.
Drake,
yeah,
Drake said everything.
Yeah, it was Drake.
Mike didn't want to rap us. Like Pac.
Yeah.
Oh, that part, that one too. He said something about so synonymous because they want to be them.
They want to be us. Yeah,
which is very true. But I'm like, yo, it's also because I was an athlete, so I'm like, yo, I feel like it. What it takes, you know what I mean? Like as far as like just the, you know, the work ethic stuff too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And there's mad politics in sports too, like
yep.
that he could talk about that not everybody knows, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's politics in both industries. So.
Well, that's why I asked about the whole, you know, mental, the mental side of things, because I feel like to be a basketball player in this modern age, with the attention that there is on the league and the level, you know, there's just the level of big business involved. It's like you're carrying you're your own corporation.
Mm-hmm.
And all your peers on your team, they're all their own companies now,
mm-hmm.
you know, and everybody, and it's the same in music too. Like we all operate as our own individual kind of units.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're working within this big, you know, system, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You kind of have to carry yourself in that way. But what's interesting is, the blurred lines between all of this stuff now because of that, you know, it's mm-hmm. not just like, you know, basketball's over here and music's over here. And yeah, there's so many kind of, to the Drake line, like, you know, people want to be that, they're vice versa, whatever. Mm-hmm. And there's just so much, kind of crossover between those two cultures. Now it's actually blurred. to the point where it's all together, to the point where we're doing a podcast.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And, and we have the music background and you have the basketball background. And there's so much more of that. You know, Damian literally putting out albums and, you know, I mean, Carl's got one of the dopest albums that's just sitting there unreleased.
I'm going to say it's fire.
Bro, I'm going to say it now. It has to be said now because nobody knows. But, like, you was there the whole time.
Yeah.
Did a whole summer with Kat. And we did a whole project. And, like, it was real features on
like
this album.
Like, 18 songs, dude.
Bro, it was
too short.
Fire.
Two shorts
two
on the
shorts
album.
On there. There's other people on that shit. Hard as fuck. But, I mean, you know, I think it goes back to, like, what I was saying about just, like, of course it was his own personal decisions that make him do what he wants to do at the end of the day. But I think politically, like, maybe the music didn't come out for good reasons. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
right.
Like, it just wasn't the right timing for that.
Yeah.
He could attest to that for real. But I feel like, you know what, like, maybe politically it just wasn't a good time to put out music, you know?
Yeah. But either way, man, it's just, it's cool that, again, it's probably because of the fact that media is changing. So, you know, we as individuals have control over our narrative more now.
Mm-hmm. True.
You
for
know?
Sure. Yeah.
And that must be cool for you kind of coming up. Cause you're still so early on in your career.
Mm-hmm.
It's a different landscape than people who came up before you had to navigate in.
Right.
You know, you're in more control. How do you deal with that? Do you and Mello think through a lot of this stuff all the time, or like it's just kind of trial and error?
Me and Mello are in consistent conversation.
Yeah.
All day about everything that's going on.
Like, yeah.
Every decision that's made is like, it has to be talked about because that's just how it is now. Like, one slip up and it's over for you.
Mm-hmm.
One slip up and it's over for you. So, and everybody's watching and everybody's waiting for you to slip up. Mm-hmm. And that's the scary part about it. Like,
right.
Nobody's waiting for you to be great unless it's like your family members who benefit off of it. But everybody else is waiting for you to slip up, you know, and especially the people that's behind you in technical terms or whatever, however you want to put it.
Hmm.
So they can get your spot. So every decision you make, it has to be a conversation with anything.
Yeah.
It's eating food, anything. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
It's crazy, but that's just how you have to lock in order to navigate nowadays at this level.
Yeah. Where do you think that came from for you, that attention to detail?
Prep school.
Yeah.
Mel over there with the slow head nod. He went to prep school too. So
yeah,
it's like
prep school. Like, you're there.
They just instilled that discipline.
Yeah, it's discipline. Like, they schedule your day for you, and then you start getting out on your own, branching out on your own off their schedule, because you start learning what to do and what not to do, and what decisions to make, what to eat, what not to eat, what's gonna help you do this, what's gonna help you do that. And once you get through, once I got through there, I got to college. I was like, college is easier than high school. I was like, fire. How is this thing? I thought, you know, in high school they say, oh, when you get to the next level, that teacher's not gonna tolerate this.
Yeah, right.
Prep school taught you how to maneuver through all of that bullshit. Yeah.
Well, that's the one thing about the Northeast, man. Like, and if you go to a good school, high school in the Northeast, like, they're not fucking around,
right,
bro?
Then when you go to like Florida or somewhere else, you know, it's still a great school, but coming from the Northeast, that's the pinnacle of education out there,
literally, bro.
And they do not care who you are, what you're about to do, like,
right.
No. I always think back, I was like, I wonder if these teachers knew I would be in the NBA, like,
right?
They care.
They don't care
more. They don't give a damn.
I always think about that, like. I want to get to something you were saying, but I always think about that too now. Looking, I reminisce to a fault. Like, you know how, like, people always say, like, I heard somebody say, like, in The Last Dance, Doctor, how Michael Jordan was, what really made him the GOAT was that he lived in the present, which is, like, super difficult to do.
Yeah.
Like, philosophically, it's very difficult. We're either looking forward or looking behind us.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I always think about that too. Is like, yo, like, people sitting next to me, whether it's like people I kind of knew, acquaintances or teachers, like, y'all probably had no clue, like, I'd get to this point. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But also how he said prep school taught him that attention to detail. It's crazy, the contrast, because, like, I could thank my dad a lot for having me always be very aware of my surroundings and everything and things like that. But I had to, like, self-teach myself attention to detail. And it's kind of weird because...
Did you always have that, though? Or did you...
I did, but not, like, not in my profession. Like, for example, like, when something was off, whether it was something I didn't like, I pointed out. I'd be like, eh, like... And it might be something that people don't even really like notice, but I'll be like, all right, no, like that's got to change. So maybe that was always in me, mm-hmm. but you know, like for a musician who literally makes their own schedule 24/7, and we can go to sleep when we want, wake up when we want, eat when we want, you know what I mean? Like it's just very helter skelter. I was like, I don't know what it was, but it made me realize that I have to be very disciplined mm-hmm. and sharp. You know what I mean? Because like, I think it's a gift and a curse there where like, all right, we have the luxury to do what we want half the time. But also like if I did work a 9-to-5 job, I'd have more structure in my life. I'd have a better diet because I'd have more structure and I'd be able to sleep better. Like all these different things would come into play versus like for us, like bro, I don't even want to like talk about like half of our lifestyle stuff, but like we could go out one night and literally wake up the next morning and have to do whatever we want, but then go nap. And like, it's just all over the place.
Right.
But I don't know. I taught myself like, you know, just attention to detail, but it's fire that you say school did that. Cause I wish I had that.
Two of you came at it from different directions,
yeah.
mm-hmm. but got to the same place, realizing that the discipline is so important, whether you have to live a certain type of lifestyle that might keep you out until 2 a.m.
Yeah.
or not. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's interesting, man. Cause I think about that all the time because this lifestyle is non-traditional, you know,
right.
In particular being a musician or a creative, it's becoming more normal mm-hmm. for sure.
Yeah.
You know? But I think people don't think about how much discipline really does play a key role into all of this stuff. Yeah. It's not just if you're working a 9-to-5 that you need to have discipline. No matter what you do, you have to have that structure. Otherwise, shit's not going to get done.
Right.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's just how it is.
Yeah. What was that? You said you thought of something from what he said.
What did it? What was I thinking? I might have lost my train of thought. I don't know. Basically, I mean, I don't know. I just be thinking about a million things.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
But
it's hard to stay present, man. It is very hard
to stay present. That point is real. Like, especially in NBA for me. Speaking on me, like. If you're not staying present, if you're thinking about what happened last possession or thinking about what's going to happen next, you'll get lost fast. And that's a learning process in a whole different way for a young player coming into the NBA or young player in college. Like, you're thinking about, when am I going to make the NBA, or when you're going to get lost and you're going to fall behind and you're not going to get there. So staying in the present is a big thing. And that's something me and Melo try to do, like take everything day by day.
So how do you balance that? Like, you know, you came into the league and exceeded everybody's expectations, you know, and immediately really made people recognize what you were about.
Balling.
You know, yeah.
Started balling.
So was that just you being in the present?
Yeah, 100%. That was 100% me not worrying about, because it was an advantage for me being the late second round pick, because there's no expectations. So when you're a late second round pick, nobody's expecting you to do anything besides go to the G League and then go overseas.
Mm-hmm.
So once that was a thing, I was like, man, I could really just be me, and whatever happens happens, because there's nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Thank God I got a loving family. You know, nobody telling me if you don't do this, you know what I'm saying, oh, we're not gonna love you if you don't, you know what I'm saying? Everybody's like, whatever you do, We're grateful you even went to college,
right,
and played basketball right. on TV. That's all they really, you know what I'm saying? That's all my family really cared about. So once I got to the NBA, anything after college or anything after my freshman year of college was a bonus. So that's how I just lived my life, like carefree. Everybody telling me, oh, you should be, you know, more aggressive, shoot the ball more, do this more. Everybody in my ear trying to tell me to do. I'm like, listen, I'm doing me, and I don't care what you talking about. I don't care what you think I should do, because you're not in my position. I got here on my own, on how I think. You know what I'm saying? I was in prep school for years, manifesting, getting to the NBA, and doing it my way. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
Whatever people had to tell me, I didn't really care for what they had to say. I would listen and be respectful, obviously, but I knew that at the end of the day, I'm going to do it my way.
Talk about it.
It's an inspiring dude to talk to right here, man.
That.
Talk about it. No, it needs to be said more, bro, because like, going, like, not going too far back, but talking about the present, like, I told, that was another, like, thing that kind of, like, sparked why I wanted to do this, because it's like, bro, like, we just don't live normal lives, and I think, like, we need to really, like, just, like, capture these moments for what they are, you know what I mean? There's a lot more for us to do, but, like, we can't just act like, this is small-time stuff, and I think there's a vendetta to what we're doing because, like, people try to downplay it, bro. Like, I feel like people really try to downplay it, or, and I don't know if it's, like, purposely done, or, if, like, they try to just, like he said, like, tell him how to do certain things, or they want to do it for their own gain. Like, nah, I wanted to be the one that taught T, yo, like, right. Now he's averaging this because I told him that.
Right.
Like, people want those points sometimes, too.
Mm-hmm.
But also, like, I feel like, bro, like, at the same time, it's like, don't get anything confused with what's going on. Like, we're all humble to a fault in here, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I have no regrets about being humble. I'm sure he doesn't either, because that makes us great humans. But at the same time, like, we're coming for everything that's owed to us.
Yeah.
That's sure. And that's got to be the energy, like, truthfully. Because, I mean, I am inspired by the Yay Doc. Don't get me wrong, but, like, bottom line, that's just a perfect example. If you don't believe in yourself to the umpteenth degree more than anybody, like, it's just not going to happen, bro. It's just not going to happen.
Well, that's the thing about Ye, man. It's like, he's such an extreme version of that. But even yeah. if you can just take an ounce of that.
Peace, yeah.
You know?
I watched the first episode 4 times.
So I'm like, yo, man.
I need, like, I'm taking in everything. Like, yeah. Conversations he's having, like, trying to hear conversations off to the side, like, anything I could take from that documentary that helped me be a better human,
100%.
I'm taking it. And I watched it 4 times. I'm probably going to watch the second one, like, 3 yeah. times. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, as excited as I am to do this podcast, I'm so excited tonight to watch part 2. You know?
Right. And, like, you know, of course, like, he gets the flack for all the wild stuff he's done. But, like, what I think, too, is, like, there's a lot of good that could be taken from him. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Yeah.
Like, bro, like, it's just, there's something special about just saying you're going to do these outrageous things and you do all of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, every single thing, word for word, like, years away from what you thought you were going to be.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, so I think about that all the time. Like, when we just chilling, relaxing, like, half the time, I can't even believe that, like, we are where we are. Like, just sitting in LA, or, like, we just sitting, I'm at the game watching him, you know, score 20. Like, bro, like, I probably, prior to, like, him even being in the league, I only been to, like, a handful of NBA games, period.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just because I couldn't afford it. You know what I
yeah.
mean? Like, trying to, like, I remember my first game was like, Celtics versus Knicks, like, 05. Both teams were ass. And literally, like, at the time it was fire, like, and I'll never take anything away from it, but our backs were on the arena, like, nosebleeds, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? So, like, to go from that to, like, me and Melo pulling up in the tunnel to watch him play playoff games and shit, like, bro, like it's hard for people to even understand that feeling.
Yeah.
You know? Coming yeah. from where we come from.
No, it is, I totally get it, man, and I think part of it is even, you know, you have to go out and get those experiences, yeah. you know? And yeah. you probably felt that even leaving the environment that you grew up in and then being forced into a new environment going to prep school.
Mm.
You know, every time you change your environment, you start learning new things.
Yes.
And then you can store a little bit of that information and move forward.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you're just staying stagnant, then those opportunities to learn are few and far between.
Yeah. You gotta get yourself out there. You gotta be vulnerable. You gotta be comfortable okay. being uncomfortable a lot of the time.
Mm.
I learned that at an early age from one of my coaches. Like, I don't know what made me listen to him, because he was a crazy dude. But he would always say, you gotta be comfortable being uncomfortable, and that's how you be great, and that's how your family eats, that's how you change, you know, generational anything.
Yeah,
you got to be comfortable being uncomfortable, and once you're cool with that, then, you know, things are looking up for you.
Totally.
Most of the time, at least.
Right yeah. You're going on tour soon. Mm-hmm. You're on the road all the time.
Yeah,
what's that like for you guys, being on the road? I want to hear about the different approaches.
Yeah, you can go ahead and start that one up.
Well, he's just naturally on the road all the time, just because every year in, year out. Like, mine's come, they come in spots, you know what I mean? I guess being on the road's fire, because we come from such a small area that, like, being able to just see different things is just special in itself. But one thing I think about before I go on the road is, like, yo, what's my diet going to be like? You know what I mean? Mm. Like,
that's the hardest part, man.
Yo, because
maybe not for you, but, you know.
It ain't easy. It ain't easy for sure. It's not easy.
Bro, like, I mean, I'm just more hyper, you know, sensitive to my diet these days in general because, you know, working all
the time. You've been in LA long enough, man. You're starting to be health conscious.
Right. It's definitely a product of LA for sure. Because I'll go home and, like, people are just so excited to eat Wendy's. Like,
yo. Yeah, that is a fact, though.
Bro, people are so hyped to eat Wendy's. And I'm
I
like,
used to
bro.
Eat Wendy's every week.
Bro.
Like three, four times a week.
Every day. Like, every day it was Burger King. And it was like, and like, no one could tell me otherwise, like, or even question it. Like, everybody's like, and everybody was in, like, yo, you want, what you want from Burger King? Blah, blah, blah. Every night.
Is
like,
BK your number
nights,
one?
Is it my number one? Not anymore. I mean, I haven't had it in a while.
Yeah, but if you had to pick one, like, fast food wise, what's your number one?
Does Chick-fil-A count?
Yeah, that counts.
That's definitely beating everything.
Yeah.
Smoking everything.
But if it doesn't count, then for me, it'd be McDonald's.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah, bro. I see them golden arches. I'm like, bro.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, I think, like, Chick-fil-A and In-N-Out are kind of like the secondary categories.
Yeah.
You know, but if you're talking about the classics, Wendy's, McDonald's, Burger King.
Classics, yeah.
Taco Bell. You know,
Taco Bell.
You gotta go McDonald's.
I'll dibble and dabble still,
because McDonald's is just consistent. You know that you're getting
right
crappy food, but it's gonna taste the same every single time, no matter what location.
Yo, and people, you know what it is? I'm starting to really look at just like between the lines of everything. Like just think about that. Like to deliver the same exact thing at the same exact level for years is crazy to me. Like just to have that formula is wild. Like that's
they're
impressive.
On another level with that shit.
Like, that's hella impressive, bro. Like, even if it is shitty for,
sure.
for you, like to have that level of shitty food at that level is crazy. Yeah, now I'm never gonna get a McDonald's deal. It's over. I'm never gonna get that if they see this shit.
Oh, hey, I love McDonald's.
Nah, don't get it twisted. Oh, I love McDonald's, bro.
I'm gonna make sure to crop him out of that.
Yeah, that's just that's like the header, like Lil Rich talk shit about McDonald's. Yo.
Oh man.
Oh my god.
But so, yeah, no, it's hard, man, when you're on the road, because I mean, you know, when you're kind of slumming it out on the music van, Sprinter van vibe, you know, first of all, you realize two things. America is so big, and when you drive through Wyoming or one of these places in the middle of nowhere, and there's just nothing for so long, you know, you're like, wow. And coming from Massachusetts, it's crazy seeing all these different parts of the country.
Yeah, I bet.
You know, that's a crazy part. But then you also realize too, there's a lot of fucking Subways. You know, and that's pretty much all you got to eat is Subways or McDonald's.
Yo,
there's a lot of damn Subways.
There's a lot of Subways.
That's AAU food.
Yeah.
Subways.
Big AAU vibes. I want to say like two things. One, like you brought up mad memories with that, like just so many AAU tournaments and how we could just constantly eat the worst food in between games
and play three games
and then go
a
play
day.
Three games.
Three games a day. Some of them start at like 8 in the morning. Like, I'm just killing Dunkin' Donuts, and then I got to run around.
I think about, like, the parents that stay there all day with, you know how the parents would drive the kids there at 8 a.m., be there all day.
All day.
You know, paying for Gatorade, this, and that, water. Sometimes friends is asking for money. They're there all day. They're doing that weekend, every weekend.
Some of them was working the tournament, bro.
Yeah.
Like, y'all don't
And then
wanna...
they go to work on Monday. Like, that's crazy to
me. Right.
I snapped my arm in half.
That's crazy.
You did what?
I snapped my arm in half at the Reggie Lewis Center at an AAU tournament.
Yo.
Damn rubber floors.
I got a scar right here from it.
It was the rubber floor?
Yeah. And you know what's crazy? I was having the best game of my life.
Oh, that's
Middlesex Magic?
Middlesex Magic.
Wow.
Middlesex Magic, I was, bro, I was like, I had eight, it was like 45 seconds into the game, I had 8 points already. Like, literally, there was four possessions, I scored every single time.
Crazy.
I was just bawling. And then I was on a fast break and this kid was like running to try and defend me and he tripped and fell. So then I tripped over him and just snapped my arm.
Try to brace yourself?
Yeah. Just snapped my arm.
Bro, Lowell, so I went to Lowell High School, so I know exactly what them rubber floors are like. And them shits is, it's like soft concrete, bro.
Yeah, it's crazy in there.
It's literally padded concrete.
I mean, I played BABC, so all our local tournaments were in there. So.
Yep, yep.
I've had a lot of nice games in there, though, for sure.
Yeah. Shout out to the Reggie.
I remember we would play BABC, and it would be a situation where it was just, we would get smoked by, like, 85 points.
No mercy.
And like, they wouldn't even put 85? In the good players.
Yeah. Nah, that we're playing the whole game. We're pressing the whole game.
Yeah.
And that's just how it is.
Bro, one of the funniest videos I've seen to this day, and Mello showed me it, is, like, BABC just killing everybody. Like, it's so funny. He's in there a few times. Like, there's just different players and they're just murdering. It's
relentless.
Just annihilation, bro. Yeah. Like, a straight, it's like really comedy. Like, but I know how you feel.
Yeah.
I know how you feel.
So what about you, Terrence? Do you enjoy being on the road or is it an adjustment?
No, to be honest, I don't like being on the road because I like being able to control my environment. And when I'm on the road, it took me a while to notice before you get on the road and you start planning stuff, plan for shit to go bad too.
Mm.
Because
like what?
Like, you know, lose your phone. Like, just have that in your head that shit can go bad on the road. People are like, oh, I'm about to go on the road. It's about to be, and then shit go bad and they do not know how to act. You know what I mean? So every time I go out, I leave the house, I'm like, prepare for the worst. And that's kind of the mentality that I have that gets me through it. Like, just knowing that shit can go bad because a lot of times I travel, shit happens, you know.
Yeah.
Anything can happen. And you're just stuck out away from your house, you know. So just let people around you know where you're going. You know, always have a backup plan, plan B. Even when I'm with the team, I'm like, you know, something happens. Where am I going to go? What state are we in? What, you know what I mean? That's
yeah.
just how I think.
Yeah.
I'm always aware of my surroundings and try to, because when you travel, shit can go bad fast. You get a flat in Wyoming, like, what are you going to do?
Bro, listen, I was on tour with... with Stiz, Freddie Gibbs, and Griselda, like 3 years ago. It had to be like, bro, it was freezing cold every city. And I just remember like, bro, straight thugging it out. I remember things, I'm trying to think. There was definitely mishaps on that tour for sure. Where
always
things have
mishaps.
Happened.
Always
mishaps. Whether we had to like swap out cars because something happened. But I feel you about that for sure. Like, and that was instilled in me.
Somebody gets stuck in Iowa City.
Yo, we went to Des Moines, Iowa. Like, I'm sorry, Iowa, but y'all, I don't want to talk shit, but y'all don't have shit. Like, y'all don't have anything out here.
The whole state of Iowa and the whole McDonald's Corporation is just coming for Lil Rich after this podcast.
I know. You're now when I go to tour in Iowa, it's going to be tomatoes thrown at me.
Do you have a stop there? Iowa?
Nah, hell no. Fuck
man,
no.
See,
I wouldn't be going.
You got to go to Iowa City, man. The Blue Moose Tap House venue in Iowa City is like the best venue in the country, bro.
Yeah.
That's
I'm not going to lie. All right, let me not talk mad shit. Because when we went to Iowa on that tour, they was lit for sure. Super lit. Besides that, like, and that's probably all y'all got. Besides college sports, too. Because Iowa's college sports get lit.
Right.
Sports. For sure, especially
all
football
those places
program.
That don't have a lot going on. And, you know, community-wise, their college sports.
They live
off
for
the
it.
Charts.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. So much just support for the teams across the board. Yeah.
As they should, bro. They chose to go to Iowa out of anywhere. Like, yo, those players,
you
went
are
to Iowa.
Violating Iowa right now. I'm not going to lie, yo.
Nah,
yo.
Bro, come on. If you
know, I don't
Iowa,
really understand the
real NBA teams there.
Keep it real. Iowa got to keep it real with Iowa. They know.
Nah, like, they know.
They know.
I've always had a good time in Iowa, man.
What did you do in Iowa?
I've had like four shows in Iowa, but it's always been Iowa City. And so here's the thing. Iowa City is like its own little college town right in the center of Iowa.
How far is that from Des Moines?
Probably an hour, 2 hours.
Okay. Okay.
But I have no idea. That just came out of my ass. But I would guess.
I said, damn, how does he know that shit?
I'm like, yo, you spent some time in Iowa.
I said it so confidently. But so it's this little like, you know, strip of a road that's got like this beautiful college campus right here. And then all along here, it's just, you know, shops and music venues and bars, places to go out. It's just for kids to have fun.
I think I've been there. Is that Iowa University?
Yeah,
Iowa?
Exactly. Yeah, I've been there. Yeah. Yep. It's a fun time. It's a fun time. But
shout out to Iowa.
Yeah, man.
But yeah. Nah, traveling's a beast though. Traveling's a beast in the NBA. And you leave right after the game. Like,
right.
You're not spending the night. You're getting home at 3 a.m. Sometimes you
Mellow not as sometimes you gotta pick you up.
Yeah. Sometimes you nah, Mellow be asleep by the time I get home. I started driving myself. But yo, sometimes you land at 3 and you play the next day.
Yeah, like, it's that's back wild, to back. Man.
No,
it's crazy.
And do they do that just because like they want you to get there? They don't want any delays the next day that might fuck up the game or something like that.
Well, yeah, you don't want to be flying in on game day and getting off the plane and playing. At least right. You get to, you know, get home and debrief for a couple hours.
Yeah, right, right.
But it's crazy. It's taxing on the body. You know, 82 games, so many back to backs. Like,
well, and even just going up in the air, like that's hard on your body. Like flying like that all the time,
bro. Yeah. I can only imagine. I'm not gonna lie, that's definitely the toughest part of y'all job.
Yeah, I think so too,
for sure.
The travel is just crazy.
Yeah,
like I look at people like, yeah, I'm on year 14. I'm like, you doing this shit for 14
bro
years?
Their whole life. That's right, crazy,
right. Come on, that's just crazy.
It's like all they know at that point. Imagine doing anything 14 years straight.
Yeah,
like that's all you know.
Every year, no breaks, just straight through 14 years. Yeah, straight.
That is wild, man. And I feel like it's particularly different for you because you came into the league and you had, what, one season and then COVID happened.
Yeah, I never played a full 82 games. This is going to be my first year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Shout out to Disney World.
Yeah. Oh, no. We're not going to start talking about the bubble.
Oh, were you? Yeah, you were in the bubble.
Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it.
Let me think of what I can say. The bubble was just it was an experience, man. Like it
yeah.
was like summer camp basketball vibes with a bunch of grown men who make a lot of money. It was like rich people jail.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Rich how, jail.
Was there a lot crazy, of was there a lot of like gambling going on in the bubble?
Oh my goodness. Every night. But it wasn't like it wasn't purposefully jail. Like COVID, you can't do anything.
Right.
You know, you don't want to go down the street and leave the campus and catch COVID.
You got a little fear about that. Yeah.
So you're staying in and you're staying in the hotel. But yeah, we gambled, you know, we did our little JV gambling, you know, $5 a hand, play some cards.
What was the food like?
The food got better. It got better.
Was it like anything Mello eats?
Did you get like the Mickey Mouse waffles?
It was most of what Mello eats. I did get the Mickey Mouse waffle when we first got there. We had to quarantine for, I think, like 4 days.
You say Mickey Mouse waffle?
Well, yeah, because you're in Disney, man.
Mickey Mouse joints. The little.
I would be stoked about that food, low-key.
Nah. But then they started letting us order, like, Del Frisco's and all that type
right,
of stuff.
Right, right,
so,
right.
We started, you know, eating good, but I was there. I want to say I was there for, like, 2 months, 2.5 months or some shit.
Man.
Like
that.
It's crazy,
that's
bro.
Pretty wild.
Just going to the gym, to your room, four walls. It was jail, bro. It was jail. The gym was like outside.
What hotel did they put you up at? Like, were you at like the Polynesian?
At the, Coronado Springs.
Oh, okay. So you're right by Magic Kingdom?
Sure.
Did you ever take the monorail?
We were not allowed to leave Coronado Springs. Like,
damn,
you're not stepping off that campus.
Oh,
no,
that's
chance.
Crazy.
There's 0% chance of you getting off that campus unless you're going to the game.
Right. Yeah, because somebody got caught up ordering Postmates and like meeting them like across the line.
Yeah, there was really like a gun line. Like you cross this, it's over for you,
bro. There's just snipers.
As if the air is not just crossing over.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, come on.
A lot of it made no sense. Yeah, a lot of it made no sense. Like, yeah. It eventually let us have people come in and stuff. But it. I feel like the experience was only terrible for us. Well, for me, because of how we went out.
Yeah,
how we lost.
Yeah,
so.
Shit. Yeah.
No, I feel you. It is so wild to look back because there was just so much we didn't know back then about COVID and about how to handle things, and so they were just shooting shots in the dark, just like, let's create a bubble.
Yeah,
bro.
You know,
wild. And meanwhile, it was just business as usual in music. Like, besides like shows getting shut down,
right?
Like, I've never been in the studio more in my life than in the pandemic, and I'm like dead ass, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think on that side of things it just gave you the opportunity to just lock in
and work.
Yeah.
Because you know what it was like, there was everything else was shut down, so people had to double triple their content.
But I got a question though. What good music came out of the pandemic?
It's a good question.
Don't put me on a hot seat. because
like I'm talking about I don't big artists.
Well, I've got sound a, like yeah, a hater. I've got an opinion on that as a concept overall, but I'll let you go first.
I don't sound like a hater. Just
nah, it's not hating. I think the answer to the question is that music is a reflection of the present time.
True.
And so it doesn't matter who the artist is, the biggest artist in the world, etc. If the world is in a difficult place, the art that comes out of that time period is
a reflection.
And it's not going to have that inspiration. It's like, depleted. You know, I don't think there was a lot of, and don't get me wrong, COVID-19 was not the same as like World War II, but there wasn't a lot of like great music going on during the war.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? True. Like, so true. I think there's just such a distraction in life in general that it's hard to be an artist and create.
See, when you put it that way, see, I was like, I was hating.
Yeah.
These motherfuckers ain't making shit.
But I could tell you from on a micro level for myself, I felt so uninspired. Mm. I locked in on the business and I was able to spend more time getting shit right and like focusing on, and I started this podcast during the pandemic. Like I figured out putting more effort into like the business overall and the brand overall, but from the actual writing in the studio standpoint, for me, and I wonder what you think, it was tough to write about shit because, I mean, what was I going to write about? Like, you know, me and my girl watching a movie? Like, we didn't do anything.
Right.
Yeah, so shout out to Bouvet. Me and Bouvet, super talented. He's not on camera, but super, super talented artist, producer. At the time, he moved to L.A., like that January.
That's right.
Of course,
yeah.
Not knowing what was about to happen. So he was on our couch. Shit. And 2 months later, like he's just stuck in on the couch.
That's pretty crazy.
For months. Like, so in that time, honestly, we made some amazing music. But I think that came from just having a new presence for him to be around me and vice versa. Like the new presence of each other really actually sparked some special stuff, which I know like at a point when it's right, we're going to put a lot of that stuff out.
Hmm.
But in that case, I think that did birth good music. Whereas like a lot of people in these places where like nothing really changed for the better for them in the pandemic, and there was no new inflections of life for them to talk about.
Right.
That kind of, you know, and people just trying to figure out the business aspect too of like, yo, should we put out more music, put out more videos because we can't tour, you know what I mean? Like it was just a weird time in general. And I think even for the music industry as a business whole, and it's going to be crazy to just look back on in life, you know what I mean?
Definitely. Yeah, it's definitely crazy, whether it's music or sports, and to be kind of coming around to, we're certainly not through it, but like we seem to kind of be accepting the new normal a little bit, you know. And I'm sure for you it feels a little bit nice to at least have fans in the stadium again.
Yeah,
you know,
that was my second year. That was a whole nother weird situation.
Yeah, I mean, what does that just feel like? You're scrimmaging, like what is that even?
Yeah, that's what it felt like.
Yeah,
it felt like you were scrimmaging, but then it's like
the cutouts were nuts, by the way. The fan cutouts.
Yeah, oh, cutouts. Yeah, we had cutouts for the first half of the playoffs.
Yeah.
So like we would have half our arena filled and we would be losing at home and we would go to, let's say we went to Dallas and their shit would be packed out.
Oh yeah.
And it's like, yo,
crazy advantage.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true, man. Yeah, cuz on a state by state basis they had different rules.
It was crazy. I'm like, yo, this is, but we would go win on the road cuz we were just so hyped to be around fans, and then we'd be home and it's,
that's
like,
interesting.
Damn, it's dead in here.
Yeah.
To play, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So all our series went past like game 5 because of that.
Right.
You got to cut to like a photo when this is being edited of like me taking a picture, like a selfie with the cutout. Like I literally have pictures of that playoff game.
And yeah, the cutouts are nuts, man.
Crazy, but.
And then they had to build in like a stadium sound to the broadcast.
Forgot about
too.
That.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, it felt like scrimmage, but like
yeah.
Then you're like, oh, I'm guarding Steph Curry.
Yeah, right.
This ain't no
not practice. Yeah.
I'm guarding CP.
So you must be pretty excited now that, you know, things are kind of just starting to be a little bit more normal and
yeah. It's way better and it's a lot more fun, a lot more normal. Like I finally feel like I'm in the, you know, real NBA. Mm. As to before, it was a lot of stuff that either you couldn't do or they wouldn't want you to do because of that, that made you really feel like an NBA player.
But right.
Now it's like everything's going smooth, normal.
Yeah.
We hadn't had to cancel any games. Like.
Yeah, even just stepping out, like you couldn't really do that because exactly. You don't want to be seen exactly. At a restaurant, like when you're not supposed to be. Yeah.
At a club.
Yep.
It's still sometimes, I feel like you can speak to this, but it's probably that temperature is still like that, but not back then. It was probably crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy.
No, it's not. I mean, oh well.
Yeah. I got a question before we wrap up. So there's such a discrepancy between, like, you know, the top earners in the NBA and then the guys who are just coming up, you know, and I obviously everybody's making good money, but you know, the range is vast. Do you feel like there's a pressure when you get to the league to start, you know, carrying yourself a certain way or acting a certain way from the financial standpoint of things, because some of your peers might be on that level? And like, how do you kind of, you know, deal with that?
It's not an easy thing.
Like, I feel like that's something that a young kid needs to understand.
It's definitely not an easy thing. I mean, you see, you know, such and such walking in with Goyard this, Louis V that, you know, gambling thousands of dollars a hand. You know what I mean? You just see that type of lifestyle and it's like, damn, I'm doing the same stuff he's doing. I'm going to the gym, shooting. Like, why can't, you know what I mean? Why can't I do that? Start spending like that. Or some people think, oh, I'm going to get that eventually. So I'm going to just spend all my shit now. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to live it up now, spend all my shit. And, you know, eventually I'm going to be like them. And then they get in the hole and, you know, they go bankrupt. So it's not an easy thing. And it's just, it goes back to self-discipline. And it also goes back to what we talked about before, where these guys been doing this for years and these guys been controlling their own, like these guys been grinding. Like I said, it was 60-40. That 60%, these guys mastered that. And that's how they got there. So before you can get there, you have to master that 60%.
Right.
And if you don't master that 60%, you're not going to get there. So a lot of people forget about that 60% I was talking about. That's all mental and your circle and your family and all the off the court shit.
Values.
Once you take care of that, you will get there. But if you don't take care of that, you won't get there. So people are thinking, let me just care about this 40%, this on the court stuff. And whatever happens off the court, I don't care. You know, I'm going to hang out with this person. I'm going to do whatever off the court. I'm going to make bad decisions. None of that matters. I just got to be in the gym. Some people get that all messed up. You know what I mean? So all those people that's making millions, you know, hundreds of thousands, hundreds of millions of dollars, like Kat and all of them, they mastered that 60. And that's why they're there. So
yeah,
it's crazy because I could draw a compare and contrast to that on the music side, because we're just so taught that you have to have an image,
right?
You know what I mean?
Right.
So like, what happens a lot more times than not is people spend up to their means just to portray an image in music, you know what I mean? Even like, you know, like fake it till you make it's one of the oldest sayings in the book. But like, even when people start to get a little bit of money, but start being around all these big artists, they feel like they got to compete and, right, and be up to right, par, right. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And those are some of the things that, you know, were kind of like being said to me. Like, I've been at fault and made some mistakes in my life playing into that game as well. And really, like you said, oh, if I'm in the gym, then I'm good. It's right. Going to work. Like, same thing with the studio.
Yeah,
like,
if I'm in the studio,
if I'm in the studio, it's all good. But like, bro, like, you trying to basically, you digging a hole for yourself, just trying to like fit up to the image or just, you know, get out in the races too early, I think you're just setting yourself up for failure. Like, if you know yourself and just be responsible and just understand a lot, like the mental part of it and just things like that, I feel like you don't have to do those type of things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and this is just for like everything. Like, it's because, you know, thanks to social media and us, you know, everybody making it feel like we got to look like everything's all figured out. Like, everything is perfect. Mm-hmm. Everything is lit. Like, whether you're doing music, whether you're playing sports, whether even if you don't do any of those things, you got to look like you're doing something. So people always get caught up in that type of shit where it's like, bro, you don't. If you on that time, you getting money, you want ice up, like you want to get a nice whip, get a nice, like do whatever you want. Like, bro, more power to you. I'm not ever going to tell anybody how to spend their money. But what I will say is you don't have to go out of your means and do some shit that you're not, because you have to live up to an image or right. play keep up.
Right. Yeah. And there's maybe that pressure, you know, these days with media and, you know, league fits and this and that, you know what I'm saying? But like, there's a way to carry yourself, mm-hmm. you know, where the energy that you're portraying is what matters, not, you know, this expense or, you know, this car or whatever, you know what I'm saying? There's a time and place for all of that.
There definitely is.
Yeah.
Like, that's just, I mean, like you said, league fits. There's probably rookies out there right now that's not making enough money to buy the stuff that they're buying, but they want to be on league fits.
Right.
So they're going to buy Balenciaga this, Louis V that, you know, like I said, Goyard bag, so they can walk through the tunnel and get a picture on league fits. Like, what's that going to do for you?
Yeah.
You're losing money.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough, man.
Like, I mean, I got on league fits for the first time. I had H&M on.
Well, that's what I'm saying, man. I feel like you can just carry yourself a certain way.
Bro, you go, what is that?
That's crazy. That's crazy.
That's fire. That's fire. They know I don't buy none of that stuff.
Yeah.
You'll never catch me.
Well, that's why I brought it up, man.
Never. You'll never catch me in there, like, shopping for myself. I might go get my mom a birthday present from, you know, Louis V. Might buy her a bag, stuff like that. But you'll never catch me in those stores shopping for myself. You'll never catch me in there.
Mm-hmm.
No, but that's what I was telling him, was like, we was just out yesterday at the shopping district. I'm like, bro, like, you don't have to dress off the fucking Balenciaga Dior mannequin to be fresh. Like, I done seen people wear, like, literally the most minimal shit and be way flyer than anybody that's, like, trying to put on all the designer. Like,
because it's an expression of them. That's what's more important, I feel you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like even when I saw you on League Fits, it was just because it was like you were expressing yourself in a way that was you,
right?
Yeah, you know. I imagine that it would be tough for a young kid coming up and seeing your peers
it's not an easy thing.
Yeah,
it's not easy.
Yeah, but again, like, that's a good thing for anybody to know, whether you're in the NBA or you're freaking doing something over here completely different. Like, you're only playing against yourself, you know.
Yes.
And you have to, that 60% that you keep talking about, that's the stuff that's really important at the end of the day, and you got to win that game first before any other game.
Facts, bro.
Yeah. Well, shit, man, I really appreciate having this conversation with you guys. Any other thoughts or anything before we wrap this up? Anything specific?
I gotta say one thing. Carl Anthony Towns dropped that album.
Oh my god.
Yeah, facts.
That album, man.
Yeah, if there's one thing that comes out of this podcast, we're at least getting a single out.
Yeah, we'll leak something.
Yeah. We're just gonna leak it. I might just
play it.
I'm gonna load it into this thing and just play it next. You guys will come back again. I'm gonna do that.
Right. I mean, I don't have much to say. I just put out an EP with my dog September, super talented artist. It's called Don't Leave Me on Red. It's out now. Working on, I mean, I'm just working on the Bia album, working on my own stuff, more YG. YG's about to have a huge year too, so that's exciting. Tommy Genesis tour, like, I don't know. I'm like, I'm like, now I got some time to plug some stuff, so I'm like,
plug it, man.
Plug it in there.
You know what I'm saying? Might as well plug it up, because, you know. But man, I'm telling you, bro, we're gonna look back at an interview with pod like this, and really, like, just know, like, yo, this stuff is going to translate very well for the years to come. I already know.
No, this was a great combo. Really appreciate it, guys.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
No problem.
Thank you, bro.
We'll have to do it again.
Yes, sir.